Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. In the name of God, Father, risen Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Welcome to Eastertide in the second Sunday of Easter, often referred to as Low Sunday because attendance is usually way off after the big blowout from Easter last weekend. And now, faithful remnant. I just learned this week it is also known as Quasimodo Sunday. A little research, however, shows that this has nothing to do with Notre Dame in Paris or any of its inhabitants, no matter what Victor Hugo might tell us. It actually refers to the traditional introit or opening prayer for this day. The text for this prayer comes from the first letter of Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow into salvation. In Latin, that text begins, Quasimodo geniti infantes, hence Quasimodo Sunday. In Anglican circles, it is often referred to as Thomas Sunday because the gospel reading for today in all 3 years of our lectionary cycle is the story of Thomas we just heard. We are all familiar with this story, told only in the Gospel of John. We all know Thomas, forever called the doubter, when all he did was ask for the same proof the other disciples not only asked for but received in his absence. I dare say, we are all Thomas more than once in our lifetimes. The story begins on the very evening of that first Easter, when all the disciples save Thomas are gathered behind locked doors filled with fear and confusion. It is only a little over 48 hours since the devastating events of Good Friday. They are unable to make any sense of what happened then or of the reports they have heard that morning from Mary Magdalene, Peter and the beloved disciple of an empty tomb, and heavenly messengers declaring Jesus is risen. Suddenly, Jesus is with them, locked doors obviously no longer being a barrier to him. Peace be with you, he tells them, and shows them the wounds of his ordeal. It is only then they rejoice, after seeing with their own eyes. In what is the Pentecost moment in the fourth gospel, after commissioning and sending them into the world, Jesus then breathes upon them and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. When told of this good news, the absent Thomas steadfastly refuses to believe unless he too can see for himself. Fast forward a week later, when again the disciples are gathered together behind closed but apparently not locked doors. It is also no longer noted they gather in fear. Having received the peace of Jesus, they apparently do not continue to live in fear. Jesus once again appears among them, offers his peace, and immediately addresses Thomas. He offers Thomas the same visual and physical proof the others received. Do not doubt, but believe, Jesus tells him in the reading we heard today. In the original Greek, however, the word doubt never appears in this account, Thomas' unfortunate nickname notwithstanding. The Greek is more literally translated, do not be unbelieving, but believing. This story is really not about doubt at all. Rather, it is about faith and belief. Jesus is asking Thomas to move from unbelief to belief. Note that we are not told Thomas actually touched or examined the wounds. It is simply the offer Jesus freely makes of himself that is the catalyst for Thomas' transformation. Thomas immediately responds with the singular statement that sums up the entire gospel message. My Lord and my God. Thomas, of all of them, really gets it. Thomas has come to believe the words Jesus told them while he was still with them. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father who has sent me. Thomas has now come to know and to believe Jesus has returned to the glory of God and that God is now fully revealed in Jesus. Jesus truly is my Lord and my God. Jesus continues, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The writer of the fourth gospel was writing for future generations who would not be eyewitnesses to the wondrous events of the resurrection, yet would still come to know and believe that Jesus is indeed my Lord and my God. That would be you and me. It can still be a great challenge to be like Thomas and move beyond our unbelief into belief. It is too much a part of our human nature to prefer the familiar, the comfortable, the known. When faced with something new or unusual, let alone something as incredible as the resurrection, it is much too easy to dismiss it out of hand. Well, I've never seen anything like that. Well, I've never heard of such a thing. Or my personal favorite, the phrase heard most often in church circles for hundreds, if not thousands of years, but we've never done it that way before. Each generation faces new challenges and new demands for creative engagement with the sacred. In our time of internet access and instant digital communication, change seems to come at us faster and faster each year. But ignoring the challenges does not make them go away. We are on the verge of an exciting transition here at Advent. We have done the work of exploring and defining who we are and where we want to go. The search committee has now entered the challenging portion of the search. The profile they have so carefully assembled has now been posted. It is time to receive and then, even more challenging, evaluate the applications they receive. Sometime this year, we will know who will help lead us into the next chapter of our life together as a family of faith. Yes, it will involve, once again, more change. And we have certainly seen quite enough change over the last several years. But we also know that other than death and taxes, there is nothing quite as certain as change. Change is an opportunity for growth and renewal. It is an opportunity for us to reinvigorate our work and witness in the world as Jesus commissions us to do. It is an opportunity to continue to explore and deepen our faith. So do not be unbelieving, but believe.